Welcome to episode 37 of Skyjacks, Courier's Call. I'm your host and narrator, Drew Merzieski. I'm joined by Allison Grauer, Palomi Pertap, and Eric Catano-Saez to bring you a story of adventure, skyships, mail carriers, and kids, just like you. Last time, our astonishing trio, Cece, Kieran, and June, made a daring escape from danger. They landed Jasper's gondola safely amid the old skyship wrecks in the salt flats beyond Teshirt, and found that the people signaling them were pirates? But what do they really want? Can they be trusted? How will our couriers get back to the Red Audrey in time? Heed the call, couriers. Stand to, and let's fly.
Gone are the days when it was easy to ride,
singing way, hey, ho.
But the years haven't withered my joy and my pride,
singing way, hey, ho.
I've never been much for the pistol or blade,
singing way, hey, ho.
For the sun is my course and the sky is my trade,
singing way, hey, ho.
My mother, she told me that life would be fine if you're free with the water but savor the wine, and to never be hurried but always on time,
singing way, hey, ho. Singing way, hey.
And June comes marching up the other side of the hill, breathless and a little, like, windblown, and goes, I think we're supposed to give them the book.
June!
Hey.
Oh my gosh! You're okay?
Okay.
I think so. I'm really tired. Are you guys tired?
It's a hard saying, bud.
Wait, no. You're saying that you got the book, then?
You mean the book?
They're the ones, June points at Brian Brew. They're the ones who were signaling when we were on the tower.
Oh my gosh!
I think the teen in the mask was supposed to bring the book to them. Is that right?
To which the crew of the glass all look at one of the guys, and he like holds up the lantern. Yeah, that'd be us. We're here for it.
Okay. We do have some follow-up questions, though. Who is the teen in the mask? Why do you need this book? Are you Red Feathers? Is this a trap? Was there anything else? Looks at Kieran.
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
Okay, yeah.
Well, first things are first there, my friends. To which Brian Baru goes, all right then, lads, head on down there. What we're going to do, we're going to wrap all up these fellows here. We're going to bring them into our shelter. We're going to take a moment. We're all going to breathe. And we're going to have you hand over that book. All right.
Okay, but what about the follow-up questions? Are you Red Feathers?
We can answer that in a bit. And no, I ain't no Red Feather. Not one bit.
Okay. What do we think, guys? Is that...
I'm
also,
thinking,
Bran
yeah.
is here? Is Bran here?
Yeah, Bran and Ruby are here. They were like a huge help.
Yeah.
This whole thing together.
Hey.
That rules.
It does.
Wait. Did I miss a whole like chase scene?
Yeah. My shoulders kind of borked.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And Ruby needs some help too.
Yeah.
And I'm also just kind of hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry. Definitely hungry.
You, June, you having come out of this are exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of missed like an epic battle of
really?
Epic proportions. Yeah, like I'll fill you in. Apparently, Bran and Ruby and Kieran are like gods incarnate because they I know they're like the avatar of every deity ever because they just slayed it out.
I was really looking forward to that part. I
know
I've been sword training and stuff, remember?
Believe me, I went somewhere too. I fell asleep at one point too during all the cool action parts, and I woke up and everybody was down here, so I'm ready to get rid of this book thing because like
is it weird that I'm craving raw meat?
A little?
Yep.
That feels weird.
Yeah.
So we see the three of you kind of talking and kind of figuring out what's going on as the crew of the glass, how many of them are there? I forgot.
40.
Less than 10, but more than 5, according to the bird.
There are 9 of them. The 9 of them kind of go over the dune. They gather up the Youngblood privateers. They tie them all up. They go over and they help Jasper get his gondola going again. They like light the fire underneath it and have it go. And Jasper takes off. He leaves. He's like had enough. He's like, as you guys are finishing up, he's like, that was great, guys, but I'm out today. I'm gone. Goodbye. And Faith is like, bye, children, bye. As they kind of take off. And before you guys can even say anything, like there's a point where Bran's like, hey, how are we going to get back? As he takes off, Bran and Fenton like drag Ruby up the dune. And you all head over the dune, having cleaned up everything, into what looks like a boat that's been turned on its side. And the bottom has been taken out of it. And there's like a couple of crates, looks like a little fire going. It looks like they were camping out here. As they bring all of you in, they put all the prisoners one place. They send somebody to go guard them. And everyone's kind of sitting around in this moment. The three of you are there with Bran and Fenton, who are wary of these nine people that are kind of sitting out there. And Brian Boru is sitting across the fire. He's got just the way that you saw him before. And he's sitting there kind of looking over at you guys and goes, well, I don't know then. Perhaps you'll be giving me the book then.
We still had questions. The follow-up for you to questions, answer,
though. Yeah, follow-up questions. You know, I think if you earned it. You came falling out of the sky there. And we've got a bunch of privateers, which we will happily be ransoming. So here's what we need to do. You need to ask me questions, and I will answer them to the best of my ability. And then you're going to give me the book.
Okay.
You have, and he takes out a dice and rolls it in his hand, and he rolls it, and the three comes up. Three questions.
That's perfect. We had only three other questions.
Yeah, we just got one question each, I guess.
Then ask them. Don't all do it at once, then.
Sorry, I was like tired and like, I don't know if you've noticed, but like we're 14. So like maybe like ease off the cool guy bit because we have had it. This one was a bird or something. This one's got octopus powers or something. It's all very confusing in the moment. And then I just passed out. So let's all slow down. Yeah. My question is, who's the kid in the mask that bumped me and gave us the book? Like, started this, yanked us into this whole disaster train?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I didn't hire him.
Oh, come on! Who is it?
I didn't. Oh, they're known as the Quill, from what I understand. It was the Tempest Armada that hired them.
Oh, darn it. Do you know their name?
It's the Quill. That's what I was given. And I'd be meeting them here to take the book from them. And giving it to the Tempest Armada.
I feel like I wasted my question.
Do I?
Oh, you did a bit, yeah.
Do we know what the Tempest Armada is?
That's a good question.
I don't know that we know that.
Yeah, I didn't even think to ask. I'm just tired and upset.
I don't think you guys know. I think you may have. Oh, this is what I want. I would like each of you to give me a rumor about the Tempest Armada.
Oh, okay.
Like make one up?
Just make it up.
Okay.
The Tempest Armada was founded by a luminary. Yeah, that was for you, Aaron.
Thank you. Everywhere the Tempest Armada goes, a hurricane follows after them.
Nice.
Sick.
The Tempest Armada only fights with mirrored swords.
Through your guys' travels, you have heard of this thing called the Tempest Armada. It's supposed to be an armada of skyships run by pirates. But they're not like out for themselves. They're out for something different. Nobody really knows what it was. And the rumors that you've heard that it was like begun by a luminary and storms follow them. They fight with mirrored swords and they're all really hot, beautiful people. All those rumors are kind of running in your head when he says we're part of the Tempest Armada and that the book is to go to the Tempest Armada. Who's next?
What is the Tempest Armada going to do with this book?
That's a grand question, isn't it? Really, I don't know. But I'm sure we can find plenty of reasons to have the logistics, the dates and times and places for the red feathers. I'm sure it'll be infinitely useful.
In what way, though? Like, to mess with them? Or
oh,
to...
I...
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, very much so.
Okay. That's, I mean, June looks back at Kieran and Cece. That's, that scans, right?
Yeah. That makes totally. Sense. Totally.
Okay.
It's the Tempest Armada's. It's our sworn duty, as it were, to take down the Red Feather.
Oh.
Whoa. Eventually.
Oh.
Okay.
Cool. So you're like good.
Oh, yeah. It
yeah, says, they're good guys.
I like to think I am. Brian like strokes his beard. I like to think that I am sometimes.
Cool. That's, I mean, it checks out. Like, trustworthy. Yeah, you know?
That makes sense.
Yeah. And you're handsome, so that counts too. I guess it checks out.
So you got one more then. What's it going to be?
Kieran, did you ask a question yet?
I didn't. I'm trying to think about my question.
Can you ask for more questions?
Can I? Oh, I'm not going to ask that.
Okay. I thought it was genie rules.
But if I, because if I ask for more questions and that's my question, then I've wasted a question if the answer is no.
See, I'm not really good Logic. At not, I'm not good at not wasting questions.
You didn't waste your question.
True. Oh, true. The Quill.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool name.
Cool name.
Do we want to ask if this is a trap still? Because I feel like it's not.
At this point, I feel like it's
probably not.
Just take this book. I'm trying to go get dinner.
There's stuff aligns with ours. But Kieran, you do still have a question, and that's valuable.
I know.
Yeah.
You could withhold the question for now if you want.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. Would you like to do that? Should I state that?
I am going to hold on to my question until a further moment date.
To which the rest of the other like seven members of the crew are like, oh, it's wise, very wise. Yeah.
June nods emphatically.
Excellent choice. To which Brian puts his hands up and goes, very well. You want to keep your question? You're more than welcome to. You can ask me at any time you like. And now comes the time when you give me the book.
Okay. So go ahead and hand that book over. You
can
still
we get something
it, right?
in return? I have it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Cece has it.
Great.
Yeah. Can we get something in return?
Oh.
Can you like
to which
pay us?
Brian pulls his hand back and goes, I beg your pardon?
Do you have anything for barter or trade?
Yeah.
Do I have anything for barter and trade? Oh, what are you? You Swiftfoot couriers?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
To which everyone kind of looks around and he goes, yeah, really.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, we're apprentices on the Red Audrin.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it would be barter and trade then, wouldn't it?
It certainly would.
That is our policy.
Hey, wait a minute. That... Do we have a ride back?
We will give you a ride back.
Ah, June, we could have gotten money, man!
Cece, be reasonable. There's no way.
There's no way we
the
can walk
funnest
back in
money
4 hours.
Comes from
walk...
funnest people like pirates.
I sleep
we
for
can't
4 hours.
Walk back to the tower.
We
could have
bought like a motorcycle or like we could have bought a dune
Cece,
buggy.
What is a motorcycle?
Very well. For a ride, we will. You can get on our boat. And we'll take you someplace. We'll do that.
You take us where we want to go.
Yeah.
You can't just take us somewhere and then expect the Audrin to come pick us up.
We will
make
sure you arrive back to your Audrin.
Okay.
See, if you play any games with us,
and
let
on
me
time.
Tell you, Mr. Bora.
Hey, yeah.
I am a man of my word.
Well, so was, what's his name? Remember the last time we had to bargain with somebody verbally like this?
Yeah, Captain Dennison.
No.
Oh.
Jolly Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
him.
That?
Ooh, I don't like
you
that.
Know Dennison.
There was that. Dennison's our captain.
Yeah. So if you're messing with
Silas
the old bull,
yeah.
You want the horns? You mess with the young calves or the bull, and the bull is going to come get you. You, feel
you
me?
Know Silas Dennison.
Captain Silas Dennison is the captain of the Red Audrin with the Swiftfall Courier Service. He's our captain right now.
Boom.
Dennison.
Yeah. Yes. Why is this? Wait, is there an echo? What's happening?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why are you surprised by this? Like, real question now.
Okay.
Why? Are
You're
you...
laughing at my cool pirate uncle right now, and I don't appreciate that.
Yeah.
Silas,
you got a problem with
Silas
Dennison? Silas
Dennison.
Yes.
The
yes.
dragon Silas. Of the red feathers.
The what?
The
who of the who's? No.
Wait. Shh. Everybody should. What?
You know Silas Dennison. Dragon of the red.
What?
No, Silas Dennison, cool older
dude. Is he
dude.
Called that?
Is that
his people
name?
Call him that?
Deepest lore.
What? I'm sorry. Can you say it one more time?
Mr. Captain Brian Baru. I'm terribly sorry.
You're telling me now that Silas Dennison, the Red Dragon of the Feathers,
is now
a captain of the Swiftwell Courier Service.
Mr. Captain Brian Baru, sir, yes. That is what we're telling you.
And he laughs. He laughs so hard. And the rest of the crew laughs. And they go, all right, Ann, all right. I would love to see it. I will do this for you. Here. You can... We'll happily take you.
Okay.
Like, you got it right. Give me the book.
You said the Dragon of the Red... What was it?
They called him the Dragon of the Red Feathers.
Oh, like the syndicate?
Like as in he worked for them?
Oh, yeah. Aye. Oh, very much so.
Did we know that?
I don't think we know that. I feel like we would know if our cool like uncle guy mentor was like bad.
Hey, you know what? When Captain Dennison sent me and Braith and Bobby Jean to Last Breath,
yeah,
he said, no, Star Watcher Winchman, somebody said watch out for the Red Dragon.
What?
Something, there was like a whole thing. Yeah, wait, this is crazy because we, in Thornvale, there was that rumor, remember, that the Red Audrin worked for the Red Feathers or something
like that?
Yeah, that
was like horse marbles.
That was like
marbles,
a weird
though.
Like kid rumor, right?
Yeah,
What is happening?
I thought I started that.
The book. Then, I would like the book now, please.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah. Do we have an agreement or though, whatever? Yeah,
we have an accord. And he reaches his hand over and shakes yours, June.
June shakes his hand very firmly.
Now give me the book.
Can I ask you a question really quick, though?
All right, then, sure, please, ask me a question.
What is brown, hairy, and wears sunglasses?
He looks around and, like, looks at the rest of the crew.
June and Kieran get
It's really
real
important.
Quiet.
It's really important. No book until you answer.
Very serious, too. Yeah.
Can you say that one more time?
Cece spins the chair around like Captain America again and says, what is brown, hairy, and wears sunglasses?
Spider on vacation.
So close, my friend. It was a coconut on vacation. No book. Just kidding. Here it is.
To which the whole, they all laugh. They all laugh at your jokes.
Good one, Cece.
Oh, nice. Everybody, she high fives every person in the crew, or at least tries to.
You high five them all. Like you get to Boudica and Boudica doesn't want to do it.
All right. Okay.
But you go over and you hand him the book. The red
does he
leather.
Turn it to, Drew, does he turn it to Jafar? Sorry.
Oh, you got
Give
me.
Give me
no.
lamp.
Your eternal reward. You hand him the book. And he immediately looks at it, thumbs through it a little bit, closes it, hands it to Boudica, who puts it into a satchel and is like, well, I know. Business completed. Until we can give you a ride, that is. But we're not going to be able to give you a ride until the ship arrives, and it's not going to be here for another couple hours.
Okay, but the Red Audrin is leaving the tower at dawn.
Is it?
Yeah. Which is why I was saying.
Well, it could be then that we will meet your ship midair.
Okay. I guess that's fine.
That's all right. We'll send a bird over and make sure that they're ready to receive you so they don't fire at us.
Sure. Is it that kind of...
We are pirates.
Reunion. Right. Okay. Yeah, no, that sounds fine, I think. Right?
Yeah.
All
right, then.
Should be
you
okay.
Guys have any food?
Really
snacks?
Hungry.
Do we have food? And Boudica. And Boudica kind of goes over and opens up like a small chest that they've brought, and it's got food in it. It's like apples and like cheese and bread and like salted meats. It's well-kept food. And they bring it over to you guys and set it down. And so it's you, it's the three of you, it's Bran and Fenton, and Ruby is still out cold as you kind of bring it over to you guys, and they go over and they begin to The crew of the glass go over and like talk amongst themselves as you guys take the food over to like sit down. And as you guys sit down, Bran goes, "What do they want?"
Do we tell him?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should.
Well, I mean, they kind of came to our rescue, right?
Yeah,
Bran and Fenton.
Yeah,
and
yeah, but like, yeah, but do we tell them about the stuff about?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Are you dealing with pirates now?
Only because that's who they happen to be. Yeah.
Did you take a job from pirates?
No. So this is what happened. And June, I think the three of us carefully, like Mad Lib style, interject on each other to explain to the other trio about being in the market and bumping into the Quill, getting the book, examining the book, running the book to the tallest tower, almost getting caught in the Red Feather party. You know, like, but like the speed run version of everything.
We skip that cutscene. We press pause and we hit skip scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, and then you guys turned up and really helped us out, apparently.
So
yeah.
what you're saying is you took a job from pirates, not knowing it's a job from pirates.
We didn't know.
You spent the whole night making sure that the package got delivered.
We had a delivery to make.
I mean, yeah,
that's
we're
some
couriers.
Solid courier work.
Yeah.
Hey, my man. See, this guy gets it.
Bran gets
you need
it.
To chill. This guy gets it.
Fenton, like, crosses her arms and goes, still not done for pirates.
Oh. Well, yeah, but
we didn't know it at the time.
They're going to use it to steal from the rich and give to the poor or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So they say the pirates, they lie.
Well, it's too late, Fenton. We needed to deliver the package, okay? We kind of just didn't have a choice at this point.
Where were you when
Fenton,
the guy
can I ask you a really important
this?
Question? If that's
sure.
Okay.
Sure, Cece.
So, it was your day off, right? It was everybody's day off as the courier?
Yes, it was everyone's day off.
Is there something going on with you and Bran?
The moment you say that, she turns bright red.
Oh?
And Bran, like, they look at each other.
Wait,
and she...
did you do this in front of everyone, or did you pull her aside?
No, in front of everyone.
Cece.
So they look at each other, and she goes, no, and Bran goes, yes.
Oh!
June's jaw hits the floor.
And they both look at each other, and then he goes, no, and she goes, yes. And they both kind of look at each other. Bran goes, don't tell the captain, please. There's, like, a whole talk you have to have.
A what?
Like, okay, let's
Denison
say...
Denison gives you the talk.
There's this whole talk. Okay, so when I was like 16, I fell for this girl on the Audren. And you see Fenton's face kind of like scrunch up a little bit as he's saying this. And he goes, and I brought that to the captain. And I said, hey, I just want... to you know that we're like a thing now, and he gave us a 3-hour talk.
3 hours?
It was 3 hours, and he told me that if ever anybody on the boat ever has a relationship, you have to have this talk every single time.
So did he look supremely uncomfortable?
Oh, he was terribly uncomfortable. No, actually, I mean, I was uncomfortable and she was uncomfortable. But like,
you had it together?
Yeah, it was the same time. And I mean, he brought in the whole captain's council.
What?
So like, they were all there, and like, it was, they all knew the entire time that we were dating. We didn't date for long, by the way.
Obviously,
yeah.
So. Just don't like tell the captain, please.
We won't tell anyone.
No, we won't say anything.
No, but gotta say you two. Nice. Offers up 2 high fives to them.
Bran immediately high fives and Fenton goes. Gives a small little high five.
All right. You kids, these kids stay cute.
Seriously, please do not tell the captain.
No, we won't say anything.
Yeah,
it's fine.
We won't say anything. It's fine.
All right.
And, you know, thank you for coming to help us out.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Save the bacon.
They look at each other and Fenton goes, you're couriers.
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah.
Your family.
Oh.
When you're on an Audren, your family.
That means when you're here, your family.
When you're on the Audren, we care about you. If something goes wrong, we're there to help. Always. I would not expect it any different from any of you. Even though, June, you're awful, I would still help you.
I literally have no idea what you're talking about, but thank you for helping us out today. Because I think when this quill person bumped into us in the marketplace, we had no idea how intense this was going to get. And it did get kind of intense for all of us, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks.
You're welcome. It was our pleasure.
Should we check on Ruby?
We see a shot of all of you turning and looking at Ruby, who has like, she had like a jacket on, like a bolero-esque jacket over like a dress. So yeah, she fought in a dress.
Cool.
That whole time. She's that jacket is off and she's like holding it like a teddy bear and snoring so softly. So she's very much asleep. And Bran goes, she's fine.
Okay.
Well, I guess we just wait until we get a ride from the pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, right?
So, you want to play Illimat?
Bran, you are about to get rocked, son. Sit down. We're playing.
Hello, couriers, and welcome to The Midroll. I'm Drew, your host and narrator. We hope you're enjoying this strange and exciting conclusion to the squad's time in Teshirt. We've had so much fun putting the arc of this story together, but don't worry, friends, there'll be so much more coming in the second half of Season 2. Just a heads up, though, there will be no Dear Red Audrin letter in this episode. We are trying to catch up on those recordings with the holiday seasons currently underway, and we're probably going to wait a little longer so our calendars can all align. Rest assured, though, we have more Dear Red Audrins coming up. Just not this time. Thanks to all the Kickstarter backers who sent those in for this season. It has been a wild delight to record these for the show. Speaking of Kickstarter backers, let's have some thank yous. Lindsay Lola Paulson, thank you. Ben Zimmerman, thank you so much. Mike and Vanessa, thank you so much. Kim Cuthbertson, hey, thank you so much. Tim D, we appreciate you and all that you do. M.K. Wiseman, thank you. Elliot Kabia, thank you so much. Heather Dawson, hey, thank you, Heather. Ethan Whiteley, thank you. Rala of the Vale, thank you. Mike and Mandy, thank you so much. Brad, thank you. And H. Liz, thank you so, so much. We wouldn't be here without all of you, so thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And now, with all that out of the way, let's get back in the sky.
Singing way, hey, ho.
We see Silas Dennison in his office in the Red Audrin Tower. In the Swiftwell Courier compound that's in the Spire District. He gets a whole office to himself, but we see him packing up, putting his books and a bunch of his effects that he's kind of had out while they were here in Teshirt into crates. We see Lysander on his shoulder as he puts things away and puts them outside. As we open the door and we look out into the hallway, we see the rest of the Red Audrin cleaning out things and moving. They're all packing up and getting ready to take off.
There is a knock at the door. It's like kind of rapid and a little nervous. You recognize it like as a knock that one of the kids would have for sure.
He's halfway putting something into the crate and he like puts it back. He turns around, he goes and he sits at his desk, makes sure he looks like presentable and kind of leans on one arm and goes, all right, then come in.
You see the head of Bobby Jean poke around the door. Captain?
Good day, Mr. Cooper. What can I do for you?
I have been tasked with the sacred promise of a courier to deliver a person to you.
A person to me?
Yes, I said I was out. Just a non-courier duty. Someone came up to me recognizing the look of a person who's part of the service and asked if I might if they might be able to meet with you. And I said, that's not possible. We're packing up to leave and we only got so much time. I'm afraid they can't do that. Then they did ask me if I could deliver a message to you. And I said, why, yes, of course. And they said that they were the message. And I thought, well, that's a mighty large loophole that we have in our system here. And perhaps we should do something with corporate policy to patch it up. But neither here nor there. I do have a message that is a person.
Are they here in the tower or are you waiting to go get them?
They are right behind me, sir.
What do they look like?
You see Bobby Jean, like, withdraw from behind the door and whisper, what do you look like? I think we can see Dennison, like, perched, trying to, like, crane his ears. And it's the same way we see Lysander also, like, looking at the door as though he is perching his ears towards it, trying to hear something. There is a whisper. Bobby Jean, like, pokes his head back through the door. Like a nightmare dressed in a daydream, sir.
That's oddly poetic for you, Cooper, but I like it. Send them in.
Bobby Jean just pushes the door open. And, you know, we can see the smiling form of Bobby Jean. He's probably got a little dust on his uniform and whatnot because they have mostly been moving stuff between the offices and the ship. And then we can see behind him, there is a woman who is, you know, I'm going to say like 5'4", 5'5". She is dressed in extremely fine clothing, a beautiful purple coat. I think it is a light wool that definitely can protect you from the winds of a T-shirt, but is still not like too hot to wear in the hot weather. There is fine like gold piping around it and really bright and polished buttons. Her pants are also like exquisitely done and they have some intricate embroidery on them. She has very fine boots that look almost new, but you can tell that they're not new. They're just quite well cared for. And, of course, on her head is very beautiful and well-maintained short, curling blonde hair. On her face, she has an expression that has something of, like, predatory swagger. She wears on her hip, sort of carried loosely at her side, a very finely made cutlass that is in a sheath with leather that has like silver detailing on it and, of course, a silver stag branded into it.
I think one of the things that we notice immediately is the contrast between the two of them, because Dennison is he's got like his sleeves are rolled up. His coat isn't on. He's got like his waistcoat on and he's got like his boots and his breeches. He doesn't have his coat on, and it looks like he's mostly just woken up relatively before this. So he's not put together at all. He doesn't even have his – I think his eyes shoot to by the door where his cutlass is hanging, mm-hmm. just to, like, know where it is. But it's not on him or anything like that. And there's a contrast between him kind of disheveled and her, who is rather well put together. I think as she stands in the door, Dennison goes –
that'll be all, Cooper. You are dismissed.
And the woman holds up a finger and bends down to Bobby Jean and takes out of her coat a full gold bar and presses that into his palm. Bobby Jean grabs the gold bar, salutes, and walks over to the courier's chest that makes up like their...
Oh, yeah.
Vault.
Dennison like opens it as he like comes over to the desk, so he like opens it for him.
Bobby drops that in and starts to like cross to get back out of the room, and like the young woman shoots Dennison a look, like a confused and almost aghast look, and she places her hand in front of Bobby,
then grabs out of her jacket another gold bar, presses it into his hand, closes his fingers around it, and like pats him on the back as like, this is a tip. Leave the room now. And Bobby looks at her like confused, looks to Dennison confused, shrugs, walks back over to the community chest, places the bar in the chest, and then runs on his way out of the room, this time giving a look to this woman like, what are you doing?
We see Dennison close it, and as Bobby goes out, he goes, Mr. Cooper, when Whitwick, Rao, and Hymnal show up, will you be sure to let me know?
Ah, Captain.
I appreciate that. We'll be sailing soon.
Sights on the sky. Bobby sees like Braith like in the background and like suddenly gets like a look of urgency and dashes over to Braith. And I think that's it for Bobby. The woman turns to Dennison and says, what on earth are you teaching these children?
Oh, nothing but good manners, hard work, and that everyone deserves what they need.
Well, I am so glad you feel that way, Denny. She steps into the office and closes the door behind her and sits down on one of the chairs in front of Dennison extremely comfortably. She takes off her coat as she does it and slings it across the back of the other chair and, you know, sits down to look.
Can I get you anything to drink, Mistress Youngblood?
Mistress is unnecessary, especially with our past together. A drink would be lovely, though.
What can I get you?
I believe I recall you were a whiskey man.
I am. Let me get you some. We see Dennison get up and go over to a drink cabinet, obviously. He opens it. There's only one bottle. Like, it's it's just the one.
Yep.
And he takes it down, and there's a glass that's, like, on top on the neck of the bottle. And he comes over, puts it down on the desk, pours a healthy dose of it, and slides it over across the table to Olivia.
She leans forward and picks it up, swirls it, holds it in front of her nose, takes a breath in, and coughs immediately.
Denny, this is positively dreadful. I can't believe you choke this down.
Not as often as I used to, but I have it just in case.
Well, then perhaps you really have changed.
I like to think I have. What can I do for you?
That's actually not the question, Denny. It's what I can do for you.
Yeah, we see Dennison kind of sigh and kind of lean forward a little bit and goes, I'm all ears.
I have a job for you.
All right. What do you need shipped, taken?
Well, ships do have something to do with it, but I'm afraid the services of the Swiftwell Courier organization won't be needed. I need you, Captain Silas Dennison, to become Vice Admiral Silas Dennison, and lead a commission of ships.
Dennison is obviously flustered for a moment as he sits there and kind of looks at Olivia. And there's a confused look on his face as he looks at her and kind of tries to get a read on, like, what's her game. But there's a long pause, and he leans back and says, commission?
Yes, full complement of ships. Of course, under the Youngblood Armada.
Mm. How many ships?
I think we could start with 4. Mm. This is a very specific job, but absolutely could lead to lucrative employment opportunities. I have been tasked with a bit of a gift by one of my older siblings.
Isn't there only one?
Yes. But the gift, I suppose, was really given to me by one of my younger siblings who had the courtesy to die in a very gruesome way that allows me to go after Orimar Vale.
Really? By the way, I heard about Tiberius. You have my condolences.
For what?
He's dead.
And he saved me the trouble of having to do it myself.
There's a knowing nod from Dennison as we see in his eyes exactly what he expected to hear.
So you're going after Rormor Vale, then?
Indeed. He has injured the Youngbloods family's reputation in a way that can no longer be overlooked.
So, you'd like me to do it?
I'd like you to join me in doing it.
How many ships total, then?
Well, most of the ships that we're receiving are on Remington's directive. It's what I believe is far too many ships. I think 4 is the ticket. We need ships to chase, ships to rout, but we do have 11 at our disposal, depending on which we can loose from which hands, which I do believe I have just gotten us 2 more.
All right, then. 11 ships, full complements, I'm assuming, full crews. Who do you have in mind for captains? Anybody in particular? Anyone I know?
I should hope there are some people you know. Denny, after you left the services, I must confess something to you.
Please, go ahead.
When we worked together, I never liked you.
Aye, Olivia. Feeling was mutual.
Yes, but I will say, after you left service and I was able to serve under a few more Red Feather captains, I came to appreciate a few details of your leadership style. And that colored my perception of the type of man that I wanted to work with in the future. So I recruited those out of the Red Feather service that reminded me of you.
Interesting. So, target's just the Uhuru, then?
To start.
So there's must something bigger in the works, then?
The Uhuru is a very large prize, but I have recently come into possession of intelligence of great import, to the point where chasing Orimar Vale has always been a dream of mine, a real challenge. Pirate hunting is actually a rather dull trade at the end of the day. Corsairs flit about back and forth, but most of them don't really have to work to take any of their prizes. And aside from a few ships in the Tempest Armada, they don't even want to put up a real fight.
If you want a real challenge, Olivia, you should do courier work.
I want a real challenge that my skills are suited for, Denny.
Ah.
Which, again, Orimar Vale is something that I have always wanted to try. However, there are bigger fish to fry in the ocean.
So let me get this straight. 11 ships. Captains that you think I'd work well with, full compliments. And enough gold, you're saying, to keep me interested.
Now, I never mentioned gold. You just projected that.
Well, you and gold, Olivia, your Youngblood name, kind of synonymous.
She runs her fingers through her hair.
Aye. And there's not much I know about Youngbloods, except they throw gold around like it's water. So I'm going to assume that if there is a job, that, there's gold involved.
That is a fair assumption to make, though I do resent comparing gold to water. It's not cursed.
No, it's not. At least to some. Let's say this, then. Adventure. After this life of being a courier, stopping that, sailing the skies again with a good crew of able-bodied erriners. It's all I think I've ever wanted.
I should hope so.
I'm going to have to refuse.
Oh, Denny, don't be like this.
I'm going to have to, you know that.
Denny, please, please think about this. And for one moment, stop trying to punish yourself.
I might not have encountered you, but I have read your records, and I do have my informants. I know how you live.
Well, let's put it this way, Olivia. I know how you live. And I,
You can only imagine how I live.
Oh, I can imagine a lot. I'm not like these couriers. I didn't grow up doing this. I know the life you talk about.
You know the life under the Red Feathers. And you know by reputation how the young bloods make their money. But there's only so much pirate hunting we really need to do. The full complement of our ship resources. More money is made through merchant vessels. I end up having to wrestle ships away from Remington here and there so that they can go on their mercantile runs. It all comes down to courier services at the end of the day, if all you care about is coin, one way or another. Mm. But what I'm interested in is far different than all of that. You're thinking of much nasty business that you had to do while you were the dragon of the Red Feather Fleet. But I'm really not interested in that.
What are you interested in, Olivia?
Did you know, Denny, that years ago, before the stars fell, there used to be these funny little academics who would go out and take measurements of the world and compare those measurements. Not all that different from star watching, really. But what they found is that this little patch of the world that we happen to be sitting on is only the tiniest fraction of what's out there. The whole rediscovered world, the whole lost world, it's a small piece of it. And there are people who have never seen it, Denny. Even the Qing Company, as far as they've flown out, they've barely mapped any of it.
Cartography?
Not cartography. Not cartography. Who stands in the way of finding these things out? What force prevents us from crossing the vast oceans of this world to find something new?
You want to fight the Mariner?
I want to beat the Mariner.
You want to beat the Mariner. And we see Denison stand up, and we see Lysander kind of puff up a little bit as he gets up and kind of walks about the room for a bit. You want to fight, you want to take, you want to destroy the Mariner and go up against him.
That's step two, Denny. After that is the real adventure.
Exploration.
Exploration. Flying ships. Not putting down insurrections, not clapping in irons random criminals who manage to steal ships for themselves. I'm talking about real things. Meeting people, finding things, exploration, adventure. Denny, I'm talking about the things that you were born for.
Aye. And we see Denison, like, go to a window and, like, look out of it while Olivia's saying this. And he turns around and goes, "Aye. That's all I've ever wanted. Or at least I used to."
Olivia, like, lays back in a sarcastic sigh.
Denison! Listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. Look at how you live. Look at what you risk your life for. More than half of the messages that you send back and forth across Sphere, they're from people who are taking advantage of your employer's generosity.
I know that.
Then why? Why risk your life for that? Sailing is difficult enough, but you're not really doing anything. You're running the same routes, teaching by and large the same children, a thing that I know for a fact you hate.
Aye. 'Tis true. But there's something different here, Olivia. I can't put my finger on it. It's been 11 years since I was a Red Feather. A lot's changed. I've changed. The world cannot be this tactile that you're saying. It can't be something we buy or sell or take or see or write down. It's something bigger than that.
Bigger than that. It's something... I'm talking about larger things. I want to go and explore and see things. You want to drift about the world, a sad shell of what you used to be, that lives in the shadow of things that other people made you do. Will there be things that you have to do as part of the Youngblood Armada? Yes, of course. There are trade-offs in all things in life. However, this is the one place in the whole of Sphere where you would be offered the opportunity to do the things that you really want to do. Not the things that you've been convinced are important. Not the things that you have to do to survive. I am talking about the things that burn in the deep chambers of your heart. The things that you would talk to me about on the very few nights you let your guard down when I was studying under you.
There's such a long pause as he lets that sink in. And I think he walks to the door and he opens it and goes, "Thank you for your time, Mistress Youngblood. I have work to do."
Olivia gets up, goes over to the door with Denison, and closes it.
We are not done talking.
This was your problem. You know that? You never took no for an answer.
And your problem was that you never properly admired, adored, or feared me.
I never did.
And that is something that I have come to see as a valuable resource. One that will be very difficult to take down a man like Ormar Vale without.
Then you have learned. Even a little bit.
Of course, because when my teacher was ripped from my hands, I went and found suitable replacements.
I'm glad you did. But obviously they didn't teach you well enough, Olivia.
There are two destinies for the men who have taught me. One is that they end up in my employ. Two is that they die. That's not a threat, Denny. That is a statement about the character of man that you are. These are men who made decisions to preserve the lives of dozens and, in some cases, hundreds of Aranas in their employ out of nobility, out of a sense of duty, out of a sense of rightness. And they did it for people working for an organization that has no sense of those things. They threw their lives away. All of these men that I tried so very hard to save ended up dying for larger things, when they could have been living for larger things. And I will say, there is this contingent that is in my employ who did see the light, but many of them are past their best years. There is a sense that you might be there as well, Denny, but think about the last 11 years. Those years were taken from you by callous people. People who never cared about you or valued you. And I believe your current employer is somewhat taking advantage of that. The fact that you were cast out by the world that saw you as a threat. And now you're held here, putting your considerable talents to use for an organization that, at the end of the day, is achieving something very little, even if it feels quite good. It's mostly because of all the terrible things that you did when you were a Red Feather. It's very easy to want to feel good about yourself after doing those things. I know the sort of things that they make you do because they made me do them. And it's all dreadful. But here, I am offering you a chance to live as you are.
We see a look on Denison's face as they're standing there, like at the door, like face to face, nose to nose. And there's this shadow that passes over his face.
You're going to say no again!
And he smiles.
Ooh! Denny, I hate that you're making me do this. I really do. I don't think this is particularly healthy. And I want to point out that I tried many times before doing this, but you're leaving me no choice.
She reaches towards her belt, and it looks for a second like she might be reaching for her sword.
We see Dennison, like, take a small step back. Like, he doesn't move. Like, he doesn't get, like, a fighting stance. But it is – everything kind of tenses suddenly as if something's going to happen. And we hear on the desk a – as Lysander, like, is bushed up, standing there looking at Olivia.
Yeah. Olivia, like, noticing his tension, looks up and smiles. Oh, Denny, you have no idea how much I'd like to do that. But we don't have the time for that. I have this instead. And this, Drew, is something that will indicate very seriously that, she has a piece of evidence that Dennison is looking for, obviously, without giving it to him. Mm-hmm. It's the answer, Denny. The one that you've been looking for, that I actually think you ought not be looking for at all, because I, again, don't think it's very healthy. But those people who put you in Anders Rock, I can help you find them, Denny.
I almost feel like we as the audience don't see it.
Let's draw a luminary.
Let's do it. The audience.
The most dramatic possible thing.
Oh, man. It's a glass eye. It's a glass eye, and it's a glass eye from someone that Dennison knows.
She tosses it casually over to him.
And he catches it with his hand.
It's the genuine article.
And he, like, looks at it. And we see him, like, turn it over, and there's a symbol, like, scratched into the back of it. I think it's a trident.
Cool. Yes.
It's a trident with, like, a skull at the bottom of it. And he looks at it and he goes, where'd you get this?
Well, from at first my informants, but then I took the liberty of collecting a few things myself. You see, I'm a very busy woman, Dennison, but I am a sentimental one.
He tosses it back.
She catches it.
I have a prom to go to. When prom is done, you find me and we'll talk.
Olivia smiles and puts the eye away.
Denny, I am so glad to hear you say that.
I need a plus one.
She pauses for a minute.
Oh, but that would make Remington so very mad.
I know you love that.
And it would delay my plans. But, after all, Ormar Vale is still going to be flying around, so we might as well enjoy ourselves.
There's a place called the Honey Smoke Mountains.
Honey Smokes? That's rediscovered, isn't it?
It is. In, 3 weeks' time, show up there.
Yes. I'll have a suit made for you.
I'll see you there, 3 weeks. And once the dance is done, we'll talk.
She gets up and, like, grabs her coat from the chair, throws it casually over her shoulder, and moves to the door. Then she turns around and looks at Dennison into his eyes. And this is reflective of the look, like expressing how different they are. But of course, this is an inverse. This is reflecting the ways in which these two are now similar, standing with each other, with eyes towards a future. She pauses, looks down, looks back up, and moves to give Dennison a hug.
He doesn't stop her. It's that bit from Treasure Planet where Jim, like, puts his head on, and we see him kind of put his arms out, but she gives him that hug, and he reciprocates it.
There are almost no good men in the world, in my experience, Denny.
Mine too.
Be careful with yourself.
You as well, Olivia.
I've got work to do and very dangerous people to meet, but I will see you in the Honey Smokes for prom.
She opens the door and walks out of the office.
We see Dennison go over to his desk, sit down heavily, reach over to the drink that she didn't drink, down it very quickly. And then the camera pans over and Lysander is just looking at him and he goes, "What?" We see a montage, basically, of you guys kind of sitting around, talking, eating. The glass, the ship, the glass shows up. It is a beautiful skyship. The whole thing is decked out in like flower garlands. There's flowers all over it. And there's a bunch of crew people on it that kind of bring you guys aboard. They're jovial. They're happy.
I imagine Cece is kind of like tried to make friends with this crew, even though they're like super adults and like grown up pirates. And is like trying to make jokes and be cool. And so like she's a little sad to go in a weird way of like, I don't know. It was kind of fun being on a pirate ship, even if it was like an hour or two. It was pretty awesome.
Cece, roll me a clever.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Get clever.
I'm not shut down anymore, right?
You're shut down on brave and identity.
Okay, good. Because I have D8 in that.
Because here's the other thing. D8. Like, that fear hasn't gone away.
No, I'm still shooketh.
You're very shook.
Got a 7.
Oh, that's really good. They like you. They like you a lot.
Hey, that's not bad. I love it.
They like you a lot. You spend the like couple of hours on the boat talking with. They're all jovial. They like dance and they sing. They like somebody brings out a concertina and a fiddle and they play. And they have this. You have the kind of like a good time with them as you tell them stories and they laugh at your jokes. And they like you a lot. That it's almost a little sad to get back on the Red Audrin.
I think June has been so dang tired after everything that happened and exhausted by how deep into the bird zone she was that she hasn't said a whole lot after this point. She's rested. She hung out while folks were playing Illimat. She hung out while people were playing music. She kind of like just chilled and observed things. So it's kind of like a parallel of June being in the backseat in her own mind now as she's trying to recuperate from this weird night that they had.
Karen spent a lot of time throughout the night being very uncharacteristic of themselves, you know, telling Fenton very definitively what to do, jumping off of boats several times. So I think over the course of the next couple of hours, they just sort of take the opportunity to return to themselves and kind of, for lack of a better term, just shelter and turtle shell back into themselves. I think their posture even starts to slump a little bit.
And you guys sit around and wait for a bit until the ship takes off and meets the Red Audrin in the sky. And they put like a gangplank down over both ships. And there's this altercation that happens that we only see it's completely silent, so we don't hear what they're saying, but it's Brian Boru standing on one side and Captain Dennison standing on the other, like shouting at each other back and forth until finally it calms down and you guys head over on the gangplank.
Cece crosses the gangplank and gives like a wave. She says, "Thanks for being my first pirate crew. I'll never forget you guys."
Twitch to the other side. The other side, there's a bunch of the other crew of the glass. And like, "Good boy there, Cece. Come on. Hey. Come see us again sometime."
"I will. I'll do my best. I'll see you when I'm a little older. I got my ship of my own. We'll rage."
Hey. June, what is your parting thing?
And I think she goes to shake Brian Brew's hand again and says, "Thank you for everything."
"You're very welcome. Don't worry about it. And thank you for the book."
"Yeah. Tell the Tempest Armada good luck or whatever."
I will.
"Cool.
You be good there, June."
"I'll try." And she heads over the gangplank.
I think they wave and smile at the pirate crew and kind of shake hands timidly again and kind of just say, "Well, thank you for helping us."
"Sure. It's no problem. And thank you for the book.
I still have a question to ask you, right?"
You do. You can ask it to me now, or you can save it.
No, I'm going to save it.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Anytime. You come back, you find me, and I'll answer it for you.
They'll go across the gangplank.
And so you head on over there, and Bran and Fenton go as well. And you guys cross over the gangplank. And it's not, here's the thing. They put a rope net down between the two ships. So you guys, even if you like fell off, you'd be fine. Mm. You get across and they pull their gangplanks back. They disconnect the net and the crew of the glass. The glass begins to like peel off. And Captain Dennison is standing on the deck and he rounds on the five of you.
You five in my office now.
Kings singing way, hey, ho. And I've seen the destruction their tempers can bring. Singing way, hey, ho. I've ridden the winds over mountain and plain. Singing way, hey, ho. Just to circle the coast and curse the mariner's name. Singing way, hey, ho. My father, he told me to never deceive. A voice to the hopeless and help those in need, and to ever be thankful for what you've received. Sing it way, hey, ho. Sing it way, hey, ho.
Thank you for listening to Skyjacks, Courier's Call. Cecilia Witwick was played by Aaron Catano Saez. We can be found on Twitter at Aaron Catano Saez or on the podcast All My Fantasy Children. You can further support Aaron's work in voiceover and worldbuilding at patreon.com/AaronCatanoSaez. June Hymnal was played by Allison Grauer, who can be found on Twitter at Dreams to Become. You can further support Allie's creative work at patreon.com/WhimsyArtifice. This episode was also edited by Allison Grauer. Kieran Rao was played by Palomi Pertap, who can be found on Twitter at PalomiSP. You can hire Palomi for layout and graphic design by visiting her website at palomipertap.com. And I'm Drew Merzieski. You can find me on Twitter at Worlds to Forge, and can further support my storytelling and creative work at patreon.com/whimsyartifice. The original score for this program was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott, who can be found on Twitter at Arnie Parrott. Official artwork was created by Jess Kraczynski, who can be found on Twitter at AngryArtist113. Courier's Call is a spin-off of Campaign Skyjacks on the One Shot Podcast Network. The setting of Sphere was inspired by the music of the Decemberists, and the game Illimat by Keith Baker, published by Together Studios. This podcast uses a modified version of the Cortex Prime system, designed by Cam Banks and published by Fandom Tabletop. Skyjack's Courier's Call is a part of the One Shot Podcast Network. Other One Shot podcasts include
Backstory. Backstory is a cozy, thoughtful interview show featuring the most fascinating folks in role-playing. Join host Alex Roberts as she gets to know game designers, LARP rights, scholars, community organizers, and more. From emerging artists to seasoned veterans, guests open up about their creative process, what keeps them engaged, and their visions for the future of role-playing. And remember, while our show is rated E for everyone, this show was created by adults for adults, so listen at your own discretion.
That's all for this week. Until next time, heed the call, couriers. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight.
I'll tell you, my children, there's much I don't know, but the wind, she will take you where'er you must go, and it's better to age than never to grow. Singing way, hey, ho, singing way.